All right, here we go. Last day of the week. Last day. Last January day of the month.
Day of the month.
Like, what is going on? This is, like, kind of flying by.
Time flies.
Really does.
Sammy tells me it's been a long month, but I feel like it's been a blink.
Totally disagree.
We'll find out in the next 2 hours how long it's been. Because we got a jam-packed show.
We do.
Including our Leaf Hour edition of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus. Lots of news here.
Yes, it's a newsy day.
It's a newsy day.
Hooray.
So you think the month of January has gone past quickly?
Like, boom.
Really? No, I found it's really been grinding.
Really?
Yeah, I really, really have. Again, maybe it's just hanging out with you guys every day. I'm not sure what it is, but it just really...
Bearing on you, huh?
The weather sucks. You know, it's just cold, snowy.
We do not agree.
I'm sick of it.
As it's been kind of noted that, like, I don't know if it's a race to the finish line before Four Nations or if it's an army crawl, whatever it is, we're getting there here. And while some may think, like, it's a good time for the Toronto Maple Leafs to kind of take a break, and a lot of it has to do with the injuries that they've had, there's also the fact that they've got four big critical games coming up starting tomorrow night in Edmonton. Mm-hmm. And dare I say it, that if you kind of look at the standings while they're still a point out of first place in the Atlantic, they're also 5 points out of the eighth seed, the wild card. Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts.
They are 5 points above the second wild card spot, yes. So they are 6 points from being out of playoffs entirely, is your point.
No. No.
What's your point?
No, no. That's your point. My point is it's five to the eighth.
Well, just to be clear, it's six to the ninth.
So, like, how important are these next four games?
Panic.
Oh, no, don't say panic.
Not at all. No.
Where's the button? I got to smash it.
It's not even, you know, they're not divisional games. They're not conference games. And that's not to diminish the value of the points. You still need your points. But, yeah, you've just lost six of your last nine in regulation. And it's time here. Yeah, every 2 points matters here, and these should be gettable games.
Okay.
Not all of them. Edmonton, Vancouver, Calgary, Seattle. Calgary, Seattle.
Give me a number.
How many do I want?
8 points.
Eight potential points.
Yep.
Gotta have five. And you want six, gotta have five.
Totally fine with two wins in the trip.
Yeah. Everybody stay calm.
Yeah, just two wins is fine.
Oh.
Two wins, two losses is just 500 hockey.
Get it to the break.
Too many dogs nipping at your heels. The Ottawa Senators, 4 points behind them.
Well,
same games played.
That's the one that
I don't know if it's gotten into me today, but I just can't. I can't buy into this. I think
I'm not buying into
it. Yeah, you're buying
it. I'm just looking at the standings.
I think you're buying it. Yeah, I know.
You wake up today and you look at the standings, and it was like two and a half, three weeks ago, this team should be going for first place overall.
Yeah, this is they need to win the East so they can, you know, get the softer of the two wild card seeds.
And to your point, they've lost six out of nine.
Yeah.
And if I go to the NHL standings page and I sort the standings by points percentage, would you look at that? They're in first place in the Atlantic Division still.
Yeah. Yeah, by 0.02%. They are.
First place.
Buddy, everything said on this show so far has been a fact. Mm-hmm. That is where they are in the standings.
Yep.
You can put on those rosy glasses, but it's getting tight.
Okay. Everything's great.
Can I be totally honest with you? Good.
No, lie to us.
Good.
Yeah.
I want it to be like that. I don't want this team to find any reason to have any complacency with any sort of lead in any sort of division.
Buddy, you
or
follow
anything.
This team, right? You know that anytime they can take a break, they do. It's not going to happen. They're not going to run away with the division.
But
don't worry.
But if they had gotten into a spot where they had a chance to, you know, be first in the division or whatever, I think it's good for them to be in a fight, for them to know they have to win games, for them to know that they're like, the standings are tight. I don't think it's a terrible thing. I don't.
No.
I really don't. Six regulation losses in nine games, that's a terrible thing. But being in a race towards the end of the year, and being in the playoffs, which I think we all think they're going to be fine in that sense, for sure. But I get where you guys are coming from.
Getting healthy matters.
Yeah.
We mentioned off the top, kind of a newsy day today, led by Brandon Saad, I guess. No, probably the NHL releasing a projection on the salary cap, and we'll get into that soon enough, and we'll also get into it with Frank Saravelli, who will join us later on in the program. But I put out a tweet this morning on my X account that he was going to make a decision as early as today, and lo and behold, it did happen, that for a guy that walked away from $5 million and the St. Louis Blues couldn't get rid of him fast enough, there were multiple teams knocking on his door, and I knew of the Toronto Maple Leafs, the Edmonton Oilers in Canada, but he ends up signing with Vegas.
Yeah, and I do think, you know, I've heard a lot of people say the walk away from $5 million. You know, I think his salary is 3.65 in cash, and he gets 1.5 plus no tax. He's down two. He's down two. Still two. It's a lot of millions. But
more than that, because it's prorated. And
right.
Right?
Well, he's earned the first half of the year. Anyway,
okay, all right. Yeah, so, fair enough.
Vegas is in an interesting situation here. Do you think the no tax thing helped them, Lansod?
I think, you know, and I don't know this, but I would believe that a smart agent would have invited everybody to the dance.
Yeah.
Which would have included the Toronto Maple Leafs, especially when you look at three goals in the last three games.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd all kind of take a run at it. I had heard Dallas also. So there's multiple teams to start pushing for this guy. And when it's all said and done, I think it's an American hockey player that really had no thoughts of trying to finish this season anyways in Canada. I think he was going to stay in the States all along. But the whole key in all of this, which again, I think the agent made abundantly clear, we want to go to a contending team for the Stanley Cup.
And then I would imagine if you're Saad, another consideration is you're playing for your next contract. So where am I going to get opportunity to show what I can be? And you look at Vegas's top six. Mark Stone is a winger. He's wonderful. But then it's Barbashev, also good. But Olofsson, Dorofeev, Lavoie, like that's their top wingers. So there's opportunity to step in ahead of some of those guys. Yeah, I see what he likes about it. I am disappointed. Like, you know, covering the Leafs, it's like, God, they couldn't have thrown 2.5 at him? Or
I don't think they had an appetite to do that.
Yeah.
I think they could have probably offered a little bit more, but not to the extent of 2.5. And I'm not even sure that they could do that.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if if there was room to do that.
Yeah, you'd have to
drop somebody,
send someone, you know, Reeves or someone down.
Maybe they could have had some cap magic, make room.
I think if they wanted him bad enough, they could have. But it doesn't sound like they believed he's going to be all that great.
Or it didn't sound like he really had an appetite to come.
You know, I have heard that is a growing thing. You know, Canada. We've talked about the taxes. We've talked about the eyeballs. I know I'm not breaking news, but it's getting harder for Canadian teams to compete against teams like Nashville, Vegas.
Well, I think if you look at Vegas, would you say right now that Vegas has a much better chance to win the Stanley Cup than Toronto does?
I wouldn't say that, no.
No?
No.
Okay. So there we go. I guess that's the end of that conversation.
Well, I think they got to go through Dallas and Winnipeg and Colorado and Edmonton, and I think the West is better at the top.
Okay.
And I think the East is soft at the top.
We're going to start hearing no tariff clause.
Do we have to pay a tariff on players? 25%.
Are we going to start hearing that soon?
Oh, my God.
Hey. The old NTC?
Yeah, he's got a no tariff clause.
That's the same as no trade clause. There you go. Pretty good.
So it is our Leaf Hour edition here. Where does this leave the Leafs right now? Because say what you will about where you think Saad's game is at right now, or where it's diminished to the point where St. Louis had no interest in keeping him. But the one thing that I think it could have excited the Toronto Maple Leafs is it's like it's a free crack at a guy.
Yeah.
It's not costing you anything other than a chunk of money and a commitment to keep a guy for the next 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
months. But it didn't happen. They missed out on this opportunity for whatever reason. Now, where do they go?
Well, for one, it looks like they're getting healthy right now, which gives us a better look at what they will look like in playoffs. I have an article up on sportsnet.ca right now about trade deadline and the Leafs and what I realistically think is going to happen here over the next, you know, whatever it is, 2 months, more or less. Some stuff that you guys have heard me say a million times, Morgan Rielly not going anywhere. Nick Robertson probably does get traded when you just look at guys who, you know, you have to give up something, and I think he's a plus asset. Minton or Cowan, one of them could go. But here's, you know, coming in, Kip, they need a center. They need a top six center, and we've talked about that in this show lots. So top six center and a depth D. But here's my question on top six center. The Islanders keep winning, and I wrote Nelson in my article today. It's not Nelson.
No, yeah. You got dated on it a little bit with another win by the Islanders, or how many? Seven now out of nine or something?
Six in a row. And, you know, and after I wrote it, I had talked to a couple people, and it's like, they're trying to re-sign him in New York. Like, the options are going to be tough.
Honestly, I can't think of a worse broken record than hearing that.
They're trying to re-sign him.
Or just going for it if you're the New York Islanders.
Yeah.
And I know it's a Lou thing, but at some point, you know, watching the same song and dance over and over again, only to fall short. And
you probably remember the Black Knight from Monty Python. Come back here, I'll bite your kneecaps off. It's like the Leafs guys are the Isles got nothing left.
Is that merely a flesh wound?
Is that what that's from?
Yeah, okay.
But
okay,
that's
okay,
not the only name that they could certainly go after, and we just saw the Philadelphia Flyers pull off a pretty big trade, and we'll have Ryan Leslie also later on in the program to talk about the Calgary Flames picking up two players for Kuzmenko, Frost, and Farabee. And like, is that still an answer for you, a Scotty Lawton?
I gotta tell you, I looked at that trade that the Calgary Flames made. And that, to me, is exactly the type of trade I wish the Leafs would make.
Oh, yeah?
Where you get two guys who are young, energetic, bottom six, sort of top six, mixing in. Like, Frost has good skill. Farabee's been a good player. A little bit of grit to his game. We saw him scrap with Connor Dewar earlier this year. I just, you know, you kind of inject two younger guys into the bottom half of this lineup that have a bit of scoring touch. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, that's a trade that I look at. It's like, that's would have been a perfect thing for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Two guys like that that you can just inject into your lineups, energy, some skill.
You know what, Sam? You look at the lineup today. So the Lions have come out in Edmonton.
Yeah.
And top line is the line everyone knows. It's Nyes, Matthews, and Marner. The second line is a line that's been very good. Pacioretty, Tavares is back skating, and Nylander.
Yeah.
You know, the third line, once you get healthy and get into playoffs, if it's McMahon, Yarncroc, and whatever center you get, like, there's not that much room to just add a couple of okay guys, you know? Yeah. Like, the Leafs lineup up front, Kip, pretty good for you going into playoffs? Like, I don't think it's far off
No, it's not good enough. It's just, it's not good enough. It's not deep enough. It's not enough scoring. At times, I don't see a guy that can physically take over a game anywhere except maybe Matthew Nyes.
Well, I mean, Austin Matthews can do that and has done that. It's not
physically take over a game. I think physically, you know, get to the net, but not wear and tear, not heavy, by game six or seven, they're worn out kind of. I'm talking about punishing, not physically leaning on guys to get to the net. Like,
but that doesn't come in the form of people who also play hockey outside of three guys in the league. Not many teams have the guys you're talking about there.
But they all end up somehow having one or two in the conference final or the Stanley Cup final.
I mean, whoever you think it is, like, they're not getting...
No, they're not.
Bennett or Tom Wilson.
But okay, so in the meantime, find me a guy that can put a puck in the net.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's probably where they're at.
Yep.
And that's why they were looking at Saad pretty hard, because...
Yeah.
I think he can score goals in front of the net. He can go to the front of the net kind of the guy, but I don't know. I think that's, to me, becoming pretty clear. Like, you know, you mentioned that third line. Do you really want Nick Robertson? Like, you couldn't slide in Joel Farabee into the right wing on the third line and it would be immediately better?
No, you're right. You're immediately better, but he makes $5 million.
Yeah, for sure. I know.
It's right now. The one thing, so I tweeted this earlier today. So the salary cap is going up, and that's something we're going to talk about a great deal. The NHL and NHLPA have released cap estimates for the next three seasons in 25-26. It's 95.5. For context, it's 88 right now. So quick math, that's $7.5 million they're gaining. Then up to 104, then up to 113.5. So I think what's really great is you could be in a position soon where it's like that, where you're like, we can upgrade that position. Mm-hmm. We don't have to worry about the intricate cap puzzle because people are sick of talking about the money, the dollars, the cap picture. We shouldn't know who Brandon Pridham is. Love the guy. Shouldn't know who he is.
He's a star.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right? It's been way too important in covering sports or hockey the past few years.
I was really surprised to see 3 years and the number being almost 114.
Yeah.
Like that one was like, ooh, okay. All right. They've never really done that before since the cap first came in.
Oh,
they've never been that bullied or bullish on getting these type of numbers out. And what is it to make teams feel comfortable enough about signing players or keeping players? Maybe that's part of the
equation.
They
want cost certainty, right? They want to know what they have to spend.
Maybe this is a chance for Gary Bettman and the players to say, hey, look at how successful we are, how healthy of a league we are.
Sure.
We got a 114 coming up. And if you're thinking about buying a team, this is why. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot of different factors here. I do worry about not the Toronto Maple Leafs, of course, but there are other teams that will have a very difficult time in 3 years, I think, being between 114 and $100 million.
Can I say right now that I do not care.
I know.
We should have the Connor Garland draw for that.
Yeah, I've been screaming about this for 4 years on this show that I look at the other sports and the teams that have the most money generally get to spend the most. Like the baseball, like have you seen the Dodgers? They have the sickest team. They just won the World Series. They just had the best offseason ever. They get to spend the most. The Celtics won the NBA championship, being in the third apron, spending $300 million on their team. This is kind of like the teams that have the most fans are the richest.
Listen,
and they awesome.
You won't get an argument out of me.
I mean,
look at Amazon. You think Amazon pays what Amazon just paid to get national games on if it didn't include the Toronto Maple Leaf kind of market?
Right. Yeah.
They're getting them not to play on Mondays when they aren't scheduled on their network or their channel.
Yeah.
Whatever you call it, app.
For sure. It has changed things a lot. But what I also think is so great is I think it does a lot of favors to a guy like Mitch Marner, who, A, can say, I'm worth a little bit more money now because the cap is whatever. But so people don't have to hear you and I argue over whether he's worth 11.75 or 13.25. No one cares. They'd like to know, does he fit with the team? Does he fit with
people cared before.
They cared before. I know they do.
And they're still going to care.
Well,
they're still going to care.
They are still going to care. But I don't care if he makes what range of that he makes. It's then you get to talk about the decision. Did they keep him? He's a guy who's worth about this much, and you're not going to be grinding for nickels so much, and maybe it'll get there for the Leafs. But I think for a lot of teams, it'll be nice to be like, do we want this guy? Do we not want this guy? Hopefully it changes some of the conversation so people can appreciate a player and not their value.
For sure. I think it's a great point that you make, and it'd be really refreshing to just have conversations about a player's play as opposed to what they make and like what we do in playoffs. And you talk about the actual games as opposed to what guys make, but you know, I'd be lying and I'm looking at you, Kipper. If you mentioned the other day that the Leafs are trying to sign this guy and you know, they're down the road of having these conversations with Mitch Marner and his representation, Darren Ferris, and this comes out today, I'm sure they're not thrilled. Like I'm sure this adds a little bit to whatever they're trying to get him on. No.
I don't think this surprised many people. I mean, the top number of the third year surprised me.
That's what I mean. Like, I would say not next year surprised me, but the two after surprised me.
That's the number that everybody will care about, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're Rantanen or Mitch Marner and you want to do percentage of the cap,
yeah,
that's really kind of, you're not doing it off of of 95 or 104. You're doing it off of probably 113, 115 yes. percentage of the cap.
Great. Whatever. So, you know?
Listen, don't tell me great whatever, because no. if he turns around and signs 14 million times 8, you're going to question it.
Well, there's always a finite amount. It's not infinity money. But I'm saying for grinding over a half million here or there, whatever. Sure, if he wants to be a 14 million, the highest paid guy in the Leafs, yeah. that'd be maybe not great for him, perception-wise, for his reputation. But
it would be horrible.
Yeah. But
absolutely horrible, because you and a few others will give him about this much of a wiggle room of slipping up and then hoarding the blame.
Correct.
But, yeah, nailed it. Well, if you're the highest paid player, then you literally get the most blame.
There's no wiggle room with him. Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't get the benefit of the doubt.
No.
Like Austin.
But, yeah, well, he gets the blame too. We don't need to go into blame pie here.
No, we're not. But it is relevant to the conversation ultimately of Mitch, what do you want?
See, I don't think people care about this money stuff that as much as you do.
Oh, my God. That's all we've heard over the last few years.
Yeah, because you keep bringing it up.
No, I don't keep bringing it up. Everybody brought it up since the moment he was supposed to sign for like 6.5, 7, and then he jumped to like 10.9. That's all we've heard. Too much money for him. He's not worth it. And now, does this new salary cap change really anything?
Yeah.
I've made my stance in that clear. It does change things.
If he signs for whatever, I don't know. Throwing out numbers. But like, sure. if he signs for just under what Matthews makes right now, they do the internal cap yes. thing like they did with, and the cap goes up to $113 million. No one's going to say a thing.
Okay. And
no one's going to
tell
care.
Me something.
Yeah.
They lose in the first round. What are they saying about Mitch?
Oh, like in that?
That's always going to be relevant, but that gets to be a hockey conversation. Is he good enough to be the guy, you know, we spend our top dollars on mm-hmm. if he can't
And
do
the answer
it?
Is no. No, the answer is no. We're not good enough, and it's a bad mistake. Mm-hmm. It's a bad mistake.
Well, then, yeah. Then that gets to be the conversation. It's about the hockey.
But does he want that conversation?
I don't know. That's up to him.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I'm sure that's part of the... Do I sign here or do I not sign here?
I'm sure it is.
The question I'm asking you is, does this number coming out today drive up his price in this contract negotiation they're having right now? That's what I would like to know. Do you know, or do you have any idea, any guess?
Of course it does, because everything is relevant to the salary cap.
Yes.
So just do the percentages. Just if he matches the mm-hmm. percentage that he had on his last contract, and you plug it in here, it's automatically worth another $1.5 million to, I don't know what the math is, but like, where do you fall in? Do you get 13.5% of a cap at 113? Do you get 14.5? Do you get 15.5?
Do you pick the third year for any particular reason and not next year when his deal would start?
Because... he's going to sign a 7 or 8 year deal. And it's like, I'm going to go to the medium. I'm not going to go to the beginning, and I'll give you a break. I won't go to the end, mm-hmm. but we're working off something in 3 years. That's going to be 115. I'm not dating my contract that much.
Yeah. It's got pretty clear here that it's going to be, he's not going to get more than Matthews unless, you know, I'm completely misreading that.
Yeah.
And so he's going to be under that. How close to, does this change that he gets closer to it? Okay. Let's do it. Are we in? Are we out? Yeah. We're not in at that number, 13, whatever it is. You know, I don't know what it would be exactly. 12.8? Who knows?
Yeah.
13.2? I don't care. You know, it's in that window of a bigger number, so it means less.
But
and that's beautiful.
The thing is,
until they lose in the first round.
I think.
Listen, I don't know what you want.
There's nothing I want.
He is going to get criticized if he plays bad, Kip. He's a top paid guy in the league. Whether he makes 11-2 or 17, if he plays bad for top dollars, we're going to criticize him.
I'm telling you, you're not just going to criticize him.
I'll be
you
so will, mean it's going to hurt your feelings too.
No, it's just, it's what, buddy, are you ready for that? I'm talking to Mitch Marner.
Yeah.
Are you ready for that?
And if he isn't, this is definitely not the market.
Yeah.
And then he leaves.
Yes.
Yeah.
But hasn't he said all along that he wants to be a Leaf?
He seems to love it here.
He seems like being a Leaf.
He's a Toronto boy and all that.
Okay.
I mean,
listen, I've watched the four of them try for 9 years, get rid of the core four, break them up. This guy, like, all you're doing is really kind of walking back into that.
Oh, no question.
Long term. Oh,
yeah. But I don't.
And I'm not. And is you guys may have the stomach for it, but I don't want to see that all over again. I don't want to do shows and constantly be listening to everybody going, what do they do? What are they doing?
I think it'll be different next year if Tavares isn't here. Because
well,
whatever you do,
but everybody had him signing for $5 or $6 million on a, you know, he was what a season he's having. 3 weeks ago, he was like one of the best seasons ever. Get him signed.
I don't know if you and I had the conversation on air or off, but you know, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work, right? With Tavares, and so there's not a dollar amount to me that it'll make sense at if it doesn't work. Mitch is more important than John, and if it doesn't work and someone has to go, it's got to be John. So it doesn't matter if he wants to play for 800 at that point. It doesn't work. So I'd be like, okay, well.
Well, is he coming back Saturday, tomorrow night?
Sounds like he's in the right color. He's in a top six blue. And yeah, lined
and
up. Side.
They miss him, though.
They do. They definitely miss him.
They miss his compete in front of the net. He finds ways to get loose pucks, redirects. He's a guy that somehow, some way, doesn't go too long without getting on a score sheet.
Yeah.
And right now they're desperate for it.
For sure. But I think, you know, if you're looking at head past the game tomorrow night, which is one of the marquee matchups of the year, and we're not even talking about it. But I think if you're looking towards next year, you're not going to have Pontus Holmberg as your second line center if he's not there, right? Mm. It's going to be player X that you use that cap space on. So that's the thing.
Not Brock Nelson.
Probably not Brock Nelson because he's going to sign for 8 years times $400 million.
Isles win six in a row and lose all the way back.
Yeah. But anyways.
So he's 32, Brock?
Yeah.
Lou's going to give him 6 years?
Oh, man. That's a terrifying proposition for a team that's been stuck in the middle there on Long Island. I hope not. Okay, we should do calls.
You guys want to hit the brakes? We can do Leafs line?
What do you got for us?
I got 17 different callers.
No.
So we should probably break, yeah. We're probably not going to get to them all, but I have a lot of them listed. You can see here, they're all listed.
All righty.
Okay, so we should catch our breath.
Yeah, probably.
All right, Leaf Line, Sammy style after the break. You're watching and listening to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Ailish Forafar.
And I'm Justin Cuthbert.
Join us as we discuss the most important sports stories of the day and tee up the biggest games of the night.
It's the Fan Pregame, 6 p.m. weekdays on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into the studio. It's our Leaf Hour edition of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Like, we were just talking off air, which we seldom do. Just stare at each other until we go back on air.
We have some of our funniest conversations off air. They just would not.
Like, just again, the news of the salary cap going up and how much some of these guys will have made by the time their careers are over. And they're all knocking on the door of, like, $200 million. 225, 250.
I saw James Cebulski tweeted that 20 years ago, guys were asked to take a 25% pay cut for a $39 million cap.
Yeah.
You know, 20 years on, now it's 114. It's going to be crazy.
I'm just looking at Matthews. I just unplugged my headphones so I can't hear myself. I'm just looking at Matthews' contract, which expires 27-28, and that would be the year that's the last year of his contract. It's 2028, and that's the year the cap is going up to $113 million.
And, like, a terrifying thing, too, because he'll be, what, 31?
He's going to be 31.
He is going to, like, and
how much has he already made?
He is the only superstar that was allowed to hit the absolute peak of a salary and not commit 8 years.
Mm-hmm. Which... I still hate it. I still hate it to this day.
Why wouldn't you hate it?
Yeah.
Right? It's like, I don't think it gets talked about enough of, like, why did Connor McDavid and Nate get eight? Hey, you got to sign eight. Hey, Jack Hughes, got to sign eight.
Well, no, here's the thing. those guys had all the leverage, as you know. Why sign eight? Like, you look at the NBA, they got max term of 5 years. Often guys sign for two, three, whatever, waiting for the numbers to go like this.
Well, they signed eight because that was like the condition of the hockey club saying, we will give you that number, but we will not give you anything less than your commitment of eight.
Imagine if Connor was like, it'll be five, and feel free to tell me I can't have
it. But he didn't.
But he didn't.
That's the point.
Matthews had the foresight. I don't understand why everyone doesn't do it. Mitch should do it too. Sign a four-year deal.
He did six.
That's why they're stuck right now.
The Leafs are the only.
He did six.
That's great. Yeah.
But it's not good for the club.
Terrible.
Just Matthews' career earnings, $77 million to this point. So
I got 60.
Okay. And looking at I'm looking at Puckpedia, estimated career earnings, 77.
So he's earned 60. He'll have earned at the end.
Sarah doing okay.
Yeah, he's doing okay.
Okay, this is the part of the program on a Friday where we completely run out of things to say. Therefore, we lean heavily on you, the watcher, the viewer, the listener, to help us.
Okay, let's start with Brian from Sutton.
Hey, Sammy. Brian from Sutton. And hi, guys. I'm starting to think the style of play might be affecting the players, and that's why they're getting injured. I don't think they're used to this style. They used to always be chased because they always had the puck. Now they do nothing but dumping it and chasing after the puck. And also, I just don't know if our coach, he's ever had players with that that amount of, they're so good. And he just doesn't know what to do with them because they don't look the same. So, and I hate to say it, but maybe they picked the wrong coach. Oof. Anyways, great show. Just, I'm confused, and like you guys, I'm trying to figure it out. Hopefully they do time for the playoffs. Bye.
Interesting call from Brian.
I loved it. You know, it's like if you put my grandpa Bourne, who was a farmer, in a Maserati, he would not have known how to use that machine.
So my first thought is, Brian, that like we did see some success. We did speak of playoff type of hockey that you could have success. So
there's a couple games early in the year, that one against Tampa, the one against Winnipeg.
There was something there.
Big time.
Out of Berube and the players that he has and the type of game that we think could be way better for the Leafs than anything we've seen in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
But to Brian's point, now it's getting a little stale and it's not working as well. And is it the injuries catching up to them? Is it the fact that teams are better prepared for that type of style and strategizing around it?
Mm-hmm.
That's the part where I say, okay, to Brian's point, let's try a little bit of a different look and make adjustments over a very long regular season.
Yeah, it's a good point. That is a very different style, and you called that before the season began, that could have an effect on guys getting hurt. The thing that makes me feel good is when it looks good, when they play hard, it really looks good.
Yep.
Like their best games are really, really good.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that in the playoffs, that's there.
I mean, if they get to the playoffs, so, according to you guys, it's going to be tight.
We just gave you facts.
I don't know how quickly you guys can do this for me, but just pull up.
Probably not quickly.
Pull up the St. Louis Blues Stanley Cup roster, and let's just have a little quick peek of the type of meat and potatoes lineup compared to, and Brian brought up a point, man. You've got some Maseratis in the lineup. I don't think that there was too many world-class talented players on St. Louis, if I'm wrong. But there was not a true Willie Nylander or a
unless you count Robert Bortuzzo.
But do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
that style of play was probably better complete start to finish with a roster of St. Louis's than a roster of the Leafs with, like,
with the exception of
it's a meaty Morgan. Team.
It is, isn't
it's,
it?
It's a meaty
I remember the third. So, like, the third line had had Maroon played with Robert Thomas. I remember they were in Maroon scored a double OT winner to win a Dallas, series. Man. Dallas, I think. Trying to think of other guys in that roster. Obviously, Shen was on that roster.
Ryan O'Reilly was the biggest star.
Yeah.
Was he not?
Offensively, yeah.
I mean, you still consider
him. They had
him.
Kyrou, but he don't know.
Yeah.
Kyrou, Thomas, and Shen.
They must have been rookies.
Braden Shen.
Not Shen.
Yeah. But outside of that, like, we're not talking.
What was the D-core?
So Barbashev is big. Sammy Blay.
Oh, yeah.
Troy Brower. Klim Kostin. David Buddy. Perron. Braden Shen.
Dumping.
Alex Steen. Oscar Sundqvist. Tarasenko was big.
Dumping Chase. Dumping Chase.
Bortuzzo. Falk. Gunnarsson. Nico Mikkola. Pareko. Petrangelo. Pouliot. Scandella.
That could be the most dumping Chase Stanley Cup champion.
Well, that's... You're right.
Is this like... Did they just hire the lucky coach? Like, how'd they win a cup?
Jordan Binnington.
Binny.
Bennington was spectacular. Yeah. Anyway, so.
Yeah, something to it.
Something to it.
Good call, Brian. Let's go to, I love this one. Let's go to Ben from St. John's.
Hey, fellas. It's Ben from St. John, New Brunswick. However, today I'm calling you from the beaches of the Dominican Republic, where I just proposed to my girlfriend, Megan.
Hey.
And luckily for me, she said yes. It would have been an awkward trip if she had a different answer. Myself and now fiance are huge fans of the show. In fact, my Spotify says I haven't missed an episode, not even a minute, in the last 2 years. You're a daily routine in our home. Now, Megan and I plan on getting to a playoff game this year, and she always says, wouldn't it be cool to watch a Leafs game with Sammy so we can all be emotional roller coasters? Now, I know that probably won't happen, but here's an idea for you. The second best podcast on Sportsnet has already done it, but how about a live show, fellas? You guys have really stepped up with regular guests like Valley and award-winning author and scholar Doug McLean. Live shows during the playoffs will be entertaining. And Kipper, as much as you might not like to admit it, you feed Leafs Nation just as much as Sammy. And I know you'd be just as jacked up marching down Yonge Street with Sammy, probably wearing Kiprios jerseys when the Leafs win the cup. So get that live show going for our Looney fans.
Loonies.
Again, I don't miss a single show. Like Hockey Night in Canada and the legendary voices that come with it, being tradition to many Canadians, you guys have become that, the Leafs Nation around the world. Keep up the great work, guys. Anyways, this phone call is probably costing me as much as the ring. Go Leafs, go. And boys, I love listening to you when I'm on.
Ben and Megan, hey, congratulations.
Ben, that's awesome. Yeah. Megan, that's cool. Yeah, thanks for the support.
That was a fantastic call.
If Ben only saw my room when I was like in grade 5.
Yeah, like
every, the Leaf?
But I had every newspaper clipping up on the wall.
No kidding.
Of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, people really do call you a grunt, and sometimes you get a little Mr. Negative here and there, and I've gotten that a little bit too ricochet shot recently. But here's what I'll say. If they ever did win, you would be extremely excited about it.
Listen, born and raised in Toronto.
Yeah.
I was like...
You'd be... I mean, they get to the final, you're full on cheering.
Kip's a pro and wouldn't want to admit it on camera, I don't think.
I was only the 88th player to be born in Toronto and play for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Is that right?
Really?
Back then.
Wow.
I don't know what they're at now, 100, 120.
That's really cool.
Like I want to, when I see a kid playing road hockey in Toronto, I'm like, buddy, I don't like your chances of ever playing for the Leafs. I just squash him right there. Buddy,
snuff out the fire of
go
spreads.
Do the percentages.
But you're mean.
No, I'm just joking, of course.
Mid.
I would never, ever crush anybody's dream.
Pick up a book, pal. Find a trade.
Just give me a chance.
Is
that, like, who grows up in Toronto and wouldn't want to see that?
Yeah.
Right? So we're all there, Ben and Megan, we're all there.
Yeah, I hope you enjoy your trip.
My problem is I had a reality check of watching and having a very good seat of watching how to win a Stanley Cup. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes they just don't agree with everything I see here.
Yeah.
That's what I'm up against.
For sure. Well, and it's not even up against. That's great context for the rest of us who haven't gone through that to have those insights. And I think that's, you know, for me, it would be incredible. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't believe the roller coaster it is. My son cried his first sports tears over the Toronto Maple Leafs last year in overtime. So foreign household is invested
there
too.
There you go.
Here's to hoping.
Let's go to the unnamed Irish from Parts Unknown.
Uh-oh. Do we think that Matt?
Nope.
Sammy McKee.
Quick question for the guys. The Leafs are struggling, absolutely struggling to score and to put the puck in the net. I mean, they're hitting more bars than you and Bundqvist on a Saturday night. So why are they calling up guys like Quillen and Grabenkin when you have Steves in the minors? He's 23 goals, I think, so far, and he leads the entire AHL with goals scored. I mean, they're struggling for goals. Why not call the best goal scorer in the minors? Thanks, guys.
Listen, I'm loving that people are from not Toronto, these calls. That's incredible.
I don't mind Steves, but they got to commit a longer look. That's always the case. Mm-hmm. Even when I was in Hershey, Pennsylvania, playing the American Hockey League, you see a guy go up and then right back down, and you're like, did he really get a chance or a look?
Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard to break in.
It is, and I'll give the example.
Voracek and Paycheck.
When I was with the Marlies, we had Seth Griffith, who is a 5'9" AHL superstar. Like, is, we called him a cheat code. It was like, oh my God, he does everything for us. Gets to the NHL, and he was not quite fast enough to get to the spots, to get the shot. And when he couldn't get there, he wasn't strong enough to hold off guys to create the spot. And all of a sudden, he just didn't get the chances. And it's like, you know, you could put him away, but he couldn't get there.
So it's just like a compounding thing.
It is. And it's like with Steves, he's 6 feet, 195. Like, he's not super fast. He's not super. I just don't think he could do it at the NHL.
I do appreciate the sentiment, though.
Yeah.
Where it's like you just keep calling up.
Scores goals.
More punts. Yeah. Bring up another punt. It's like, how about a guy that could, the puck can land on his stick and he could shoot it in?
Sure. I would rather have Steves than some of the other options that do play.
Who's that player?
Who's that?
Who's that?
Seth Griffith?
Griffith. Yeah. Any relation to Dell?
I don't know. Dell Curry? Who?
No. He's like in Planes. There's John Candy's character.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Sorry.
Okay. All right.
Tough crowd again.
Tough crowd. You guys are way too young.
Let's go from Ian from Jollibee or Jellybee.
Good day, man. It's Ian calling in from Jellybee, Ontario. I was born in Toronto, but I was raised in Ottawa. Being a diehard Leaf my whole 72 years on this earth, can't stand the Habs, especially their whining fans. I watched the Leafs win the Cup in 67, and I was in the rink for Matthews' four-goal NHL debut, and they still lost anyway. I've been suffering all these years, like all the rest of the Leafs fans, with their playoff disappointments, and am seriously thinking of switching allegiances to the Senators. I know. They're, you know what? They're a bunch of hardworking guys, lunch bucket types, as Don Cherry would say, with talent to boot, that play as a team and are going nowhere but up. In my opinion, the Leafs aren't going anywhere but to the golf course again. Sammy, are you coming with me, or do you like just torturing yourself, man?
Wow.
Anyway, great show, guys. Keep up the good work, and go Sens, go.
Oh!
Sammy's just crushing you right now. Hey, come on, talk to him. If anyone can talk to him, it's you right now.
Here's what I'll say. You know, it is a lot of despair. It's a lot of just crap pretty much my whole life. But if it ever did happen, you know, Ian from Jellybee or Jollibee,
whatever the hell, pain you got.
You have no idea how good it would be if it did happen. So just
hang
stay
in there.
Just stay.
Hang in there.
Listen, and if
the
it doesn't,
pain is the identity. This but, is who Sam is.
But
is
if it does, but if it doesn't work with these guys, then you can switch. When it's like then when they're going for the rebuild after this era of Leafs hockey without winning a cup, then you can switch. I won't.
You can switch allegiances when your team is mismanaged, when your team is owned by someone who is of whatever, rung up on charges of whatever. You can't switch because you lose a lot.
Even if it doesn't work out that well, like this is the type of roster where you could be Washington Capitalish, is it not?
What's that?
The Leafs.
Just have a one-off year where it works.
Come back in a year or two and load up, change four or five guys.
Salary cap goes up 20 schmil or whatever.
You're right back in the game. Like, yeah. No. There's no time to go to Ottawa.
I am fascinated Ian by the background.
Jellybee.
Jellybee, formerly known as Jelly's Crossing, which we noted there. Thanks for the history lesson.
Let's go to Jake Beliefs.
Sammy Tipper, it's Jake Beliefs. I've had enough of people telling me that this Toronto Maple Leafs team is
bad, that they're going to miss the playoffs, that they're terrible, that their expected goals for isn't where it needs to be. I've had enough. That's what happens when you're missing one of your top two centers, both paid over $11 million a year for long, extended periods of time throughout a season. And that's also what happens when you have a new coach and you're working on new systems and trying to figure out how the whole team meshes together, how it all works. But more than that, this team is second in the division. They were first last night. They're first by points percentage. Oh, they're 4 points up on third. I don't care. Why does anyone care? They're also 1 point out of first. I've had enough. The team is fine. Everybody can shut up.
Jake Belief.
Spectacular Twitter follow, I will say.
A lot of facts there.
Yeah, a lot of facts.
Bit of an eye-opener. You know, it's not all bad. Jake Belief told me so.
No, it's great context for the start of the show when we were saying they're 4 points out of, five out of the final playoff spot. And Sammy, for some reason, decided to dig in a positive fashion. He was heavily biased.
And to his point, I've been screaming for Tavares to take nights off, right? Just rest. There's no reason why this guy should have to play 80 games.
I stand by the thing I said.
Could be a blessing.
Where I said that when they have looked good, when they have worked, it's looked better than the old Leafs. When they're healthy, when you're getting that forecheck, that effort, that physical play. So the ceiling is higher than it's been for me. And that's all I'll say.
We're back.
We're back, baby.
I'll sneak one more quick one in here. Let's go to Curtis from Guelph.
Hey, boys. It's Curtis from Guelph. You guys probably noticed that recently there's been these teams of quarter-century all-star teams.
Yeah, right.
And I got to thinking about what would be an anti-team for the Toronto Maple Leafs, which would be the worst players.
Oh, my God, he's got me on left wing.
And I hate to rip on guys that all skate circles around me, but it is entertainment, and I found it entertaining, so... what I have here is my first team being David Clarkson, Luca Caputi, and Alex Galchenyuk, just for that one pizza he threw.
Yeah.
Oh.
Defense have Aki Berg and Martin Marincin,
yes.
And net Jonas Enroth. Second team have Alexander Suglobov, Joe Colburn, first round pick with 1 goal in 3 years, Nick Ritchie, Brett Lebda, and Jeff Finger on the back end, and then Vesa Toskola in net. Curious if you guys have any other names to throw in there. You think guys maybe like Pierre Engvall would make the cut, or maybe Dmitry Kristich. Anyways, look forward to listening to your show tonight. Look forward to seeing maybe a potential other honorable mention on Saturday in John Klingberg and how he looks against the league.
That was a sick idea.
It's a great call.
And I haven't heard those names. Some of the names.
Yeah.
Some I don't even remember or ever heard of.
You would need a minimum games played.
Yeah, for
sure.
Well, like the 2015 Leafs when they tanked.
Tobias Lindbergh.
I mean, like, you know, Nick Spaulding, and you know, like, it was a PA Parenthol played on the Leafs. I think he led the Leafs in goals that year.
No, but there was a bunch of guys who came up from the Royal Leafs for like a day.
Yeah, yeah. They don't count.
Frederick Gauthier might get a nod.
Yeah, it's Freddie the GOAT. He had a moment, yeah. I think he played more than Matthews in Game 7 once.
What do we think about, like...
That might be true. Maybe not.
What do we think about, like, a quarter of a century team? It's like, is that really necessary?
No. In the content business, did you see Utah put theirs out today?
Is it just
a
team now?
For like 3 months.
Is it just a team now? That's actually great. That's funny.
That's funny. I did not see that. Yeah. And I think they're making a pretty good point. Like,
yeah. Okay. How slim are the pickings here for some
quarter of a century team?
Yeah.
Like, can we do an eighth of a century? Like, where do we stop? It's like a tattoo. Where do we stop?
Can I be honest with you? Totally agree. I hate to agree, but I do agree.
But it generates conversation.
Sure.
And that's all you're trying to do in the content business.
Yeah.
Get people.
What was the goalie? Yeah. What was the goalie that they called up in the game before Babs got fired and they scored 7 on him?
Cascasuo.
Yeah, he'd be on
Cascasuo.
There. Yeah. His first chance of the game on a team that had quit on Babs, Malkin down the slot, right in the net. Yeah. Nick Batan might be on that team too.
Oh, Malkin.
Malkin for sure. Malkin.
The Malkinator's on there.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
God. I mean, he's lighting it up this year in Switzerland.
Is he?
Oh, I guess that was his plane that we just heard there.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, we got to go to break, I guess.
All right.
Oh, yeah, we're late.
We are late?
Yeah, we
are. I got no music. I got nothing right now. That's okay. We're going to break. We go national next on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show.